One, there are three places that Matthew uses the word was to separate the three sets of 14 generations that are listed. Okay? Two, there are two places where Matthew uses the phrase and his brothers. I tried to underline them or bold them or something so you could that would bring them out. It's believed that Matthew may have been emphasizing the fact that Jesus' history encompasses all of Israel. From the inception of the 12 tribes, which is Judah and his brothers, you can see that on there, to when they were scattered at the exile into Babylon, which is Jeconiah and his brothers. You see that? It's important that you notice that this does not happen in the third set of 14 generations. I wonder why. Why do you think that is? Well, remember, this is an introduction to the story. And we know it as the story, right? This is an introduction to a story. How many disciples were there? How many brothers were there up in Judah and his brothers? Well, some of you may not know this one, but some of you might. How many brothers did Jeconiah? How many brothers were in that family? Isn't that interesting? You see how it continues on. We will find by the end of this story that Jesus and his brothers are continuing on in the same way that Judah and Jeconiah did, keeping the Jewish history alive. This is very significant how the disciples fulfill this role. The third way is there are five women listed in Matthew's genealogy. Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, the wife of Uriah, which we know as Bathsheba, and Mary. Now, this really is highly unusual. Historically, Jews do not list women in their family trees. So why are they here? What do you think? These aren't great matriarchs of Israel. Well, if we look at the ladies, Tamar is the first one, right? Tamar was not an Israelite. Now listen to this. Now this is the lineage of Jesus. This is the lineage of Jesus, who we understand and we believe to be God's Son and our Savior. All right? Genesis 38 tells us that when Judah failed to provide a husband for her, she posed as a prostitute and lured Judah to her bed and conceived twin sons. Is that a proud heritage or what? Not only was she posing as a prostitute, but Judah, a proud father of Israel, thought he was sleeping with a prostitute, even though she wasn't one. All right. How about Rahab? She wasn't an Israelite either. She, on the other hand, did not pose to be a prostitute because she was a prostitute. All right. Joshua 2 tells us how she sheltered spies sent out by Joshua. Now, how about Ruth? Ruth wasn't an Israelite either. Genesis 19 tells us that she was from the cursed race of Moab, stemming from Lot's incest with his firstborn daughter. Well, we're hitting 100 today, aren't we? Proud lineage of Jesus here, right? How about Bathsheba? Well, she was an Israelite. However, she married a non-Israelite, and that's why they believe that she is listed as the wife of Uriah instead of by her own name. Now, remember this story in 2 Samuel 11 and 12, where Israel is at war and all of its male citizens were fighting except who? King David. Now, in that day and age, usually the king led the battle, so it's kind of interesting that he was still at home. But you see, as the story goes, David, from his roof, noticed Bathsheba taking a bath and fell in love. Right? And what King David ended up doing was taking her husband, putting him on the front lines, and assuring that he would be killed so that David could call Bathsheba, his wife. Hitting 100 still, aren't we? This is Jesus' lineage. Well, how about Mary? Mary was an Israelite. She was not only not a prostitute, she was a virgin of probably 12 to 14 years old. And this leads us to the last break in the pattern of this genealogy.